It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
What it is, welcome to the Three Wise Men with a question mark. I could not be more excited today. Joining us is, of course, Cousin Trevor and my brother from another mother, Kevin Kylie. But I am excited because one of my favorite human beings on the planet is joining us today. He's has a million names and a million moves, but he is PJ forever to me. So PJ Black is with us today. PJ, thanks for joining us. So
thanks for having me, man.
No, well, first of all, you cannot have a podcast during Shark Week without having PJ on. That's number one. One of the greatest adventures of my life was set up by PJ. But before we get into all of that, man, like, you have one of the best stories. You have one of the best Coming to America stories ever. So people have followed your career. I mean, Nexus, great singles career, great international star, one of the nicest slash toughest guys I've ever been in the ring with. Yeah. I've single-handedly seen a guy try to take liberties, get knocked out, and PJ wake him up and help him win.
PJ was the only one that believed in me. Well, there was a couple others when I was in FCW.
PJ believes in everybody.
Yeah, PJ had egos. You know what? I'm going to give this kid a shot. And yeah. God bless you for that. Yeah. I didn't mean to.
No. You know what the first thing?
I have an eye for talent.
Hey, Trevor, you know what the first thing he said to me when I met him?
What's that?
So I had just come back to FCW for the first time, and PJ was the FCW heavyweight champion. Yeah. And we get his practice, and we get in the ring, and I'm meeting everybody. And the first thing he says to me is like, "Hey, you got to earn a title shot, bruh." Yeah. Was like, yeah. "What? Yeah. Nice to meet you."
Yes. Like, make them work for it, boys. Yes. Yeah. So here's the thing, right? So when I got to FCW, I was just like one of the foreign kids, so nobody kind of knew what I was all about, right? And like everyone was kind of like trying to bully me or trying to haze me or whatever the terms are. And then as soon as I had my first match, everyone's like, "Oh, whoa, this guy's legit." And then, you know, 2 months later, I was the champion, and everyone is like kind of like not sucking up to me, but I was kind of like playing that character. I was like, I mean, Tyrus is my boy, but like, hey man, you're gonna have to earn the shot.
Yeah. Just so everyone has the image, Trevor, I know you like to be considered the handsome guy.
Of course.
PJ was it just an angel?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it was just an angel.
Just an angel. Yep. And he looked
like an angel.
Like he
looked. That's only the character, man, yeah, right?
Prettiest man I ever saw.
Yeah.
Isn't that the worst, though, getting your ass kicked by somebody prettier than you that you cannot do anything about?
The nice news is before you fade to black, there's a handsome smile sending you on your way.
Right. Yes. Well, and it sounds like there's one welcoming you, too, to wake up like,
well, yeah, hey, thanks, man. Thanks for putting me out. But so, and your father, rest his soul, was a legend in Africa. And so you were second generation, but you had an amazing legacy already in Africa. What made you come to the States?
Well, it was always my dad's dream to, my dad ran a promotion out there, and there was always his dream for me to go, you know, go to the dojo in Japan, go to Mexico for a little bit, go to the US, you know, build that name, and then come back and then take over the company. Unfortunately, in 99, my dad got shot, and I was 18 at the time, and everyone expected me to take over the company. And I was a child. I was 18. All I wanted to do was wrestle, you know. So I kind of like just packed my bags, went to Europe. You know, family and friends were really upset with me. But fast forward 5 years later, I went back to South Africa, and there was a company called WWP, and they had a TV deal. So I was like, okay, cool. Let me work here for a little while. I'll give myself 3 years to get signed, you know. And I tried everything I could, you know, go to the gym, study tapes, do whatever you need to do, you know, make new gear, like create these characters, practice promos, whatever you need to do. And everyone said I couldn't make it, including my mom. My mom was like, nobody from South Africa has ever made it. So what makes you think you can make it? And I was like, Exactly. Then I'll be the first. I've always been a contrarian my whole life, you know? So, and it took me 3 years and a lot of calls and emails. Back then, I was sending like tapes and discs to the head office. I think I sent it to every single person whose name I can find in Stanford, you know? Like I probably sent like 40, 50, 60 tapes. And I remember coming down for my tryout in FCW and Dr. Tom and Steve Kern. They had the box full of tapes, and they were like, "We know who you are. You're the guy from the jungle." Because my promo photo, I was in front of this massive tree, so they just always thought I was a dude from the jungle.
Tarzan.
Yeah,
but he's too handsome to be Tarzan. Like you just got to give it up to him. Like, you just got to give it up to him.
You became champion real quick. I remember, right? When you came to FCW, you were champion within a month or two. Is that correct?
Correct.
I remember,
like a month or two or something, and on TV within 10 months, I think.
Right.
Nexus happened within 10 months. That was
well, understand that
was the most fun time in my life.
Yeah.
Attendance was up. We had like 70% women coming to wrestling shows.
Yeah. Well, we did after he took the title, right?
Yeah. guys' wives guys' wives who would never go to their own shows started showing up.
Yeah.
And the glow sticks and the tech hair music.
Yeah.
The techno music and the glow sticks help too.
Well, and the fact that, you know, there's several different types of wrestlers, and PJ is like a hybrid because he can fly with the smallest guy, right? But then he can get in a ring with me and his kicks and his size. He's not a little guy. You know what I'm saying? Like he's that hybrid. He can ground and pound with you. He can street with you, but then he's going to do a 450 off the top rope that like is just elegant and not that stiff. He's a triple threat in terms. He's a complete wrestler, but he's not a greedy wrestler.
Right.
Like in terms of like whenever I worked him, he never said I have to get this and this in.
Right.
Because he knew what he was. All his stuff was crisp.
Yeah, and I remember, PJ, I was kind of on the fence, right? And I mean, I loved wrestling. I wanted to be there. I was working very hard. But there were different opinions, right, about my ability to work. About, you know, I always thought I could speak pretty well. But I do remember, PJ, you either went to Steve Kern or Dr. Tom or both of them, and you said, hey, let me get a match with old Alex Riley. Right. You know, and let me see what I can do with him. And you were the champ at the time, man. So I always appreciate that. You know, that was and we did it. We did have good matches, brother, and I believe I took the title off you. Did I not?
Yeah. Wow. He didn't earn it.
I did.
He didn't earn it. You did not earn it.
But I took it off you with a microphone. Nobody ever said I was a better worker than you now, though. Yeah. You know. So yeah, no,
fair
but
enough, fair enough.
But brother, no, but from like, yeah, from my heart, man, I appreciate that. You put a good word for me. You know what I mean?
That backfired.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Well,
yeah.
It was kind of funny. You know, you get all these extra perks. So they were like, hey, who do you want to work? What kind of storyline you want to be in? What do you want to do? So, you know, I knew who the top guys were, but I was like, hey, give me some of these kids. Cause I saw so much potential. I really thought that Kev could be the next John Cena, you know, just the way the charisma, the way he moved, you know, and he was an athlete too. Cause usually guys like that are kind of awkward in the ring. But he had the whole package, and I was like, "Dr. Tom, give me him." And Doc looked at me, and he's like, "Are you sure, man?"
Yeah, I remember you telling me that. They were like, "Yeah, I don't know."
And I was like, "Yeah, I promise you, I can pull a good match out of him." And I believe we had some fantastic matches.
Yeah, we did. I thought that I had some of the best matches.
And storylines.
If not the best matches of my career with you, man. So you know, God bless you. Thank you.
Hey,
yeah.
Trevor, let me ask you this because
so many people say that about me. Thanks, man.
Yeah, I'm on a list. I know.
Trevor, let me ask you this. You know how PJ did, how he picked some guy who was like, he's like, this guy has talent. He's just not getting an opportunity. And I can pull out. How many times have you been in that situation? Especially you being a Harley guy, to where now when you work, when you pick somebody, do you do that? Or you always work the top guys wherever you go?
No, I definitely want to work that guy who's been like obviously working his butt off, but haven't given that shot. That's how I've made my whole career. You know what I mean? I've worked hard, but it took that one guy going, hey, listen, he needs an opportunity just like everybody else. And because they gave me that opportunity, I was elevated to the next level. So it's, in my opinion, that's our job, right? Like we're supposed to take the younger guys that we know have talent and try to help elevate them. It just sucks that we are in a business full of egos and that doesn't get highlighted very much.
Because that's the thing. That's the thing I think I always loved about PJ. It was, I don't think there was ever a time where I ever, now inside and what he did at home was different, but he never, we call it selling it. He never sold any of the ego stuff. Yeah. And when you are a guy as talented as PJ is, who looks like PJ does, there is going to be venom because he just walks in the room and the ladies start cheering. Right. You know, and then he gets in the ring and wrestles, the guys start cheering, you know, so you're going to have that target on your back. And it's, I think it's really cool that you didn't pass the savings down the hill. Cause you see that they call it the grizzled or the bitter, the bitter vet, you know, and you never, I can't remember. And I know I was one of the most irritable people on the planet at times when things weren't going necessarily my way or what I perceived to be my way. You always, was it just your, because getting to know you on a personal level, I know you do a lot of, you're about zen and like just focus and so, is it difficult? Was that something you learned over time? Like, how did you become a, I always called you room temperature. Like, he's always room temperature. You're not going to get him hot and you're not going to get him cold. He's just, he's going to smile. Even when he whoops you, he's got the same smile.
Sounds like the perfect guy for the locker room.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for putting me over like that. I don't know why you're sucking up to me like that. Is it because you're scared?
I don't have to suck at you. I'm the reigning, defending, undefeated NWA World Television PJ, champion, New York Times bestseller. I don't have to. I'm paying. You are a good
just
friend.
Just telling the truth over here, PJ. Just telling the truth.
Don't play that humble stuff with us.
I appreciate
like, oh, geez, thanks, guys. I had no idea I was so incredibly good looking. None of us said incredible. None of us said incredible.
I mean,
but that's cool.
I'm referring to the toughness, but you know that it's because I grew up on the streets. You know, the streets of the jungle. It's a
game
world.
Recognizes PJ, game.
PJ, you told me when I first met you that in your country that the giraffes. Do you remember this? A painting.
I did.
PJ, come on now.
Oh, PJ
you're taking
play,
advantage.
Hey,
you're taking advantage of my low level intelligence there.
Yeah, I want to hear this story, Kevin. Tell it.
He told me that the giraffes were pointing the line, the painting the street. What was it? The lines on the street.
You know,
the divider line?
The lines in the streak of the road?
Yeah. He said, Kevin, in my country, I said, what's it like over there in South Africa? He goes, well, you know, in my country, there's a giraffe and there's a guy that hangs on a wagon in the back of a giraffe and he actually paints the lines in the middle of the street. And I either believed him or I was too nice to argue or didn't know what heck was going on. Or,
you know,
I don't know, but I remember that. Yeah. So, you know.
I know. I didn't think at the stage, at the time, I didn't think Kevin believed me, but like 2 years later, I had dinner with his parents. And his parents told me the story.
We all miss you over here, PJ. It's my mom included.
Were you too nice to tell him the truth, or did you keep it going?
It was a poor Kevin moment, I think.
I thought he knew I was ribbing. I thought he knew.
the good old days when you had those giraffe drawn horse carts.
Right.
Like you had to have pictured this in your head, right?
I'm picturing it right now.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Me too.
Has that ever even been done? Have you ever seen a giraffe pulling a wagon?
It was something like that. You know, I don't know if that was the exact terminology, but it was we're still hand painting the lines in the center of the road, and I was either, I don't know what the heck was going on. I just didn't argue it maybe, but anyway, I'll never forget that.
I mean, usually when I tell people that, they go, why do you need the giraffe if you have roads?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that would kind of throw it off. But, you know, Kevin's been a lot of things, and
gullible is one of them at times.
Yes,
yeah,
we've all been there, brother.
Yeah, just not to that extent.
Yes, we have. Wyndham once convinced me that Hershey's Park, you know, the theme park, convinced me. Well, he told me that all the rides smelled and tasted like chocolate, and I believed him for like a month straight.
Yeah.
This is when I just came to the U.S.
Yeah, Wyndham was good. Wyndham, or a lot of people know him as Bray Wyatt. He was good at painting a picture. All the streets are paved with chocolate.
I was just putting over your story, PJ. You know what I mean? I was just trying to do the best that I could. Yeah.
Kevin's a little sensitive. I think he looks back at it now going, man, we've all been there.
Right,
but at least
you
didn't make one of the decisions where you got to raise it afterwards. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
Oh, man. I always loved your attitude. And so eventually he gets called up. And he's in NXT, and I remember And then we're touring and stuff. And I get called up. And at this time, I'm now tagging with Tenzai. And we're going to South Africa. And PJ was like, oh, stick with me. Like, because he's basically going to a hometown, kind of like a hometown kind of thing. He knows everything there. And
So Tenzai knew this before I even knew it. He goes, hey, man, I heard we're going to South Africa. You better make me go shark cage diving when we're there. And I was like, what? We're going to South Africa?
Yeah, he was slowly transitioning to office. He didn't tell anybody, but yeah. So when you said it, I was like, oh, I'm in. I'm in, you know, and we get there. And I don't think I thought about one match the whole time I was there. I was just trying to think what adventures I was going to do with PJ.
I had the choppers pick us all up at the hotel. I saw photos of that. So you guys can actually go. If you guys go on YouTube, just type in WWE Shark Attack, and that video comes up, and it's a fantastic video, actually. I show it to a lot of people. Like, it still holds up today.
Hold it right there. We'll be back in a bit.
Now, if I could get real with you for a second. Now, listen, when I turned 40, I started to notice a little decline in my aggressiveness in the gym, and I started to feel the effects of aging and feeling a little inadequate. So Nugenix came along and gave me a free bottle, and I tried it, and I noticed results immediately. I just felt stronger, more confident. You started seeing results back in the gym. You got to try that Nugenix Total T. I swear by it. It is phenomenal. Nugenix Total T Testosterone Booster with Tesnor will help you turn back the clock and re-energize your life. Prove it to yourself. Try Nugenix Total T before you buy. There's nothing to lose and everything to gain. New energy, muscle, drive, and even more passion. Get your complimentary sample when you text 231-231 and enter the keyword Tyrus, and that's TYRUS. Now get your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total Tea when you text 231-231 and enter the keyword Tyrus. Text now and get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, the newest and most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you lose fat fast and get lean fast. Absolutely free. Text 231-231 and enter keyword Tyrus. Text 231-231 and enter the keyword Tyrus.
Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply. Number one doctor recommended brand by primary care physicians based on an independent survey conducted by IQVIA 2022.
This is the trip that I never forget. This is the trip where they came to me right before we were about to leave and they said, Kev or Alex, whatever it was.
Yeah.
They said, you're going to be a commentator now forever and you're not going on that trip. And I was like, oh, I was heartbroken.
Yeah,
because I remember I was like, because I had
everybody wanted to be with PJ.
Yes, because I had just been talking to PJ and he's like, we got all this set up for sharks and blah 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 and
lions
and giraffes, you know, and all the whole thing. And they were like, Kev, I'll never forget it, they were like, Kev, you're staying for this one. And I was like, oh damn. So glad y'all had fun though.
Well, first of all, a lot of people, I don't think they realize how beautiful Africa is.
Yeah.
Until you're there. Like, my breath was taken away. I literally was like, sell all the shit, we're staying. The hotel that we stayed at, Trevor, might have been the most peaceful, beautiful view I've ever had. We're staying there, and I got lucky. I got one of the rooms overlooking the beach and the water, but the temperature is, like, you leave the windows open. It's not, like, you're not sweating, and you're not cold, and you can hear the ocean all night, and then occasionally there's like a breeze coming in, and then you look out, and there's perfect. This beautiful water, and it's just, and it was a lighthouse, and I still have pictures of it, and I was like, this is it. Like, this is the pinnacle of making it, and what I thought. And I was just so impressed of just the infrastructure and, like, how friendly everybody was, and it was just a really nice place, because a lot of times the media, you never see that, especially when you think of like South Africa, you only hear the negative stuff. Right. You never hear about the beautiful beaches and the wildlife. It's unbelievable, you know, and
well,
the
over
cities.
Here, everybody says Africa, and they show all the worst parts. They don't say South Africa and show all the beautiful parts of Africa that no one really gets a chance to see.
So we, yeah,
and they do the same on the TV in Africa. We only see the bad parts of America, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. Horrible. Like, right. Why are we not showing the good parts of where we live at and share that amongst each other?
Well, that's what you keep everyone to stay.
Right. What a rib.
Yeah.
It's funny. So many wrestlers' favorite place is Cape Town. Like, if you ask Bret Hart his favorite place in the world, he'll say Cape Town. He actually tried to buy a house there a few years ago, still try to buy a house there. He actually goes, whenever WWE goes on tour, he joins the tour. He just sits backstage a lot of the times. If you ask a lot of guys, Chavo, Rikishi, ask them what their favorite place is, and they all say Cape Town.
Yes, it was my favorite place. The crowds were great. And again, the adventure. Now, Tenzai and I were so big, we had to take our own helicopter. We couldn't fly with the rest of the group.
So we had now let me, as gullible as I am, is that true?
I have the photos. Yeah,
that's
no.
True. Okay. Justin, see, now that,
and,
yeah.
And Justin had to sweet talk. PJ had to sweet talk him because they're like, you guys are too big. Yeah. You're not going to be able to go. Yeah. But when you're an angel, right, you can make people change their mind.
Yeah. Well, he's like Brad Pitt over there, yeah, I heard. Yeah. I never got to witness it, which is very sad. But no, I heard it's another and level rock
they
star.
They added another helicopter.
Oh, my goodness.
Think about that.
I was just going to say that. I was just going to tell you the story. So we had to add an extra helicopter because obviously because of fuel issues, we had to measure like the weight, right? So we were like 4 to 6 people in a helicopter, but Tenzai and Tyrus had their own helicopter because of fuel efficiency and body weight, BMI or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, we had a combined BMI, I think of about 400. But it was, hey, that like, helicopter
put
ride.
Put those two guys in the helicopter that looks like it's going to crash. Like, put us all in the safe ones.
Thanks. But the view, now the shark experience itself was amazing, but the journey, first of all, flying up there on the helicopter was awesome. But then when you look down, the water's so clear, like we were seeing whales, and then we see this ominous figure swimming about maybe 10 feet from the shore, and the helicopter was like a guide. He's like, oh, yeah, that's a 16-foot great white, and we're seeing how close these big monsters are swimming around shallow water casually, and I remember I looked at Tenzai and I said, I'm not getting in this ocean for nothing. Like, these guys are just rolling everywhere, and it was like a whole ecosystem. We could see everything, and we saw pods of furrow seals and stuff, and then eventually we get to this place, and it's just awesome, you know, and it was another adventure getting us in wetsuits, but they did get us in these, they did have giant wetsuits for us. And it was funny.
They had them for you and Tenzai?
Yes, they had them for us, me and Tenzai.
Well, I set this up like a month before, right? So I made sure they had it. I told this lady, I was like, yo, there's some really big dudes coming. Make sure you have gear for them. And she's like, no, don't worry, Clav, we got them. And then like a week before, I was like, just make sure this is the size we need. And she's like, oh my gosh, that's the size we need. So, but she made it work. We made it work.
Yeah, they were slimming. Also, so I actually was thinking about wearing that fashionably. Like, it was first time I was ever actually in a wetsuit. Usually I'd just be like, just give me the goggles. I'll just be cold. I'm not worried about it. And even the boat ride out there, they had skewers, these big giant seagulls that would do tricks for sandwiches and stuff. You throw it up, they catch it or whatever. But inside they had a video camera, Kevin, where they would show you like trips coming in.
Yeah.
And you would see a lot of times the fur seals who get hit, you know, while they're out there.
Okay.
And a great white hits him. And there was one in particular, he was doing all kinds of moves, right? Just left, right, zigzag, whatever. And another one hit him and basically bit him in half.
Ugh.
And, you know, and it's not like, you know, in TV when it happens, it goes away.
But these dudes,
it's a while.
Yikes.
It's a long, and the shark just kind of circles and waits. Yeah. And the sea lion doesn't give up. Ugh. Even though half his ass is floating to the bottom of the ocean, the other top, he's still trying. He's still trying. He ain't giving up.
If I could just the jungle.
If I could just get to shore, everything will be fine.
Oh, my goodness.
But then there was one video that they kept on a loop where a fur seal had figured out he was dodging and stuff and hopped up on the boat. And just got up on the boat and was like, go to shore.
Time that I be human now.
Pet me. Do whatever you want, bro.
Yeah.
Just tag me. Right. Just don't bore me and get me to shore.
I'm coming with y'all.
So they were like, don't be afraid if a fur seal jumps up on the boat because they figured out they'll use the boat to get away from the shark. So we were like, all right, cool. We got out there.
Which is smart on their part.
Yeah. But we got, and here's the thing, all these big bad wrestlers, right? And there was guys talking trash, right? And I remember Randy Orton and Swagger were like, we're, you know, going to do this, we're going to do that. Right. Once, first of all, just getting on the boat, half the crew, I remember Thaddeus kept throwing up. Hager got sick. Orton got sick.
Everyone got seasick.
Yeah, I didn't. I did not. I was very proud.
Even me. Like, we were making fun of everyone getting sick. And then, I was the last person to get sick. And as I was making fun of someone like Lillian, I just got sick. Obviously, the camera guys caught that.
Yeah. And I was just focused. Because I was at a point in my life to where And A-Rod will tell you, A-Rod will be telling a story, and I would interrupt him going, guys, isn't life just too long?
Yes, it was. I remember
this. I was like.
We wanted a button to go out on top.
Yeah, like, you know,
I remember. Life is great. It's just a little
peak and valley-ish for me.
Right.
And new heavyweight champion of the world. Well, that's my time.
That's it.
Later, Marks. Hit the button. Right. I'm done, right? I go out on a high note.
Yeah.
And I thought, what a better way to go. If a great white just got you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Even the sea turtle, even the first seal getting bit in half didn't deter me. And they were like, now I wasn't suicidal, but I wasn't opposed to being a part of the food chain. There you know what I'm saying? Like,
if you're gonna
there's a huge difference.
Yeah. Story, boys. Like, I got chewed up by a shark. Tyrus was a stud, you know.
And
what a way to go out.
Life insurance policies and stuff. You get eaten by a shark, you can't say I was asking for it. You know, like, so we get out there and the guy's like, there's one rule. You don't stick your hand outside the cage. And a lot of like, I don't want to say half, but it was like maybe three or four guys got out there. And the first time they saw the fin when the guy was slapping the tuna on the water and the first 12 footer came by, done, not going in the water. I even think, and not even as a joke. Because, you know, Orton has that, like, every once in a while you can hear his St. Louis draw.
Right.
And he's like, we're going to need a bigger boat. Like, and I'm like,
Did you guys go down in a cage?
We went in the cage.
And they would, and the shark would swim around and right in front of you.
So here's the thing. Yeah. As big as they are, you're not seeing them in the water.
Until they get right up on the cage.
They're like 10 feet away. Yeah, you cannot see them.
Wow.
So I went under, and it was a huge female. And she came up on the side and just disappeared.
Right.
And I was just like, where did she go? Now, you'd go under in the cage, and then you'd come up for air.
Okay.
And you'd go back down.
Okay.
So, but I've always been a pretty good swimmer, so I can hold my breath for a pretty good long time. So, and I was practicing in my bathtub the night before.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. So I was like holding my breath.
You're getting warmed up.
Just so you know, I didn't fit in the bathtub, so just get a visual of me trying to dunk myself. So I go under and I'm like watching this.
You also smack the cage.
Yeah. And I started tapping on the cage. Tapping on the cage because I'm like, I'm going to pet a great white. Yeah. I'm going to do it. Damned to hell.
Ugh.
I'm going to do it.
Right.
I see her. I tap. She disappears. She's gone.
Right.
Then I'm talking 7-8 inches right there on the side. She's so close, her eyelid rolls back.
Right.
And I'm just, it was like slow motion as I reached out. And as I just about to touch her Ten's eye, and someone else grabbed me and tried to pull me up.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I touched the great white. I was just so ecstatic.
Did you touch it?
I touched it. Yeah.
Oh, nice. All right.
But it was like, I came up and I was loving life. I was the happiest I'd ever been. Yeah. I looked death in a rolled up eye and I survived. And I was like, Justin, thanks so much. And like, I went down a couple more times. Then we got out and PJ was like, hey, you want to go again? No.
Right. That's it. Yep.
I've danced with the devil.
Right. You only danced with the devil once.
Ain't going to be no rematch.
Amen to that.
And then we come back.
It was freezing too.
Oh man, it was cold. It was so cold. We come back and PJ goes into the gift shop, and we went in there and they had this Megalodon shark tooth, and it was expensive. And I was like, oh man, this is awesome. And I could not let it go. And I was just so like thankful. And I was like literally driving back on the boat with the biggest smile on my face ever. Like I was just truly had a moment of a lifetime. And then he comes back and he goes, hey, I want you to have this. And he gives me the fossil, which I still have to this day. My plan was, and it's a giant shark tooth. My plan was to have it made into a necklace. But to do it, they had to drill a hole through it. And I was like, no, this isn't, sorry. This is something, I keep it with, it's, I see, wherever I go, it's with me. And it was one of the coolest moments, you know, and I just remember, and it was like, and the party kept going. Like we assumed we had a couple matches. I don't even remember the matches.
Right.
I just remember one night, they just said, hey, Aaron and Cody are going to get in a fight, and you guys just leave the ring. I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
I got lions tomorrow,
right,
so I can get some sleep.
Yeah.
You know, and then he took us to the place, and again, David Attenborough would have been proud. I had figured out the lion call. So they had these beautiful, and the place you took us to, they have these rare lions. They're not white. They're kind of manila. They're very rare, and they're gorgeous. I mean, they're just gorgeous. And There's this movie called To Walk with Lions, and the actor, he kept, like, you know how he call a lion, you just say, he's like, who's the ruler of the land? And you say, I am, which sounds like
right.
them, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there next to AJ, and I'm like, I am. And they start doing it back. And again, I'm like, bucket list. Like,
that's
this
awesome.
Is the greatest
that's really
day
brilliant.
Of my life. Like, I petted a cheetah without permission. The only thing I listened to orders was the Wild Dogs. The guy was like, no, my friend, we don't f- with the dogs. They always want to eat you. They're never gonna be happy to see you. They're always gonna eat you. I raise them from pups. They'll eat me the first chance they get. So we respected the dog rules. But it was. I know we had some wrestling matches.
Right. Yeah.
I know. There was some wrestling matches.
They were in it. Right. They're in their
zone. You know
what
I do remember? You know what I do remember is the flight to Durban. Can you remember the flight that we had to Durban from Cape Town?
Oh yeah.
I just remember this weird airline that I've never even heard of. It was like Orange Airlines or Mango Airlines or whatever.
Yeah.
And I just remember, like, the pilot was so stoked that there were so many big wrestlers on there. And I remember Sheamus couldn't fit in his seat because they didn't have first class on
no.
his flights. And I just remember Sheamus went into the cockpit because the pilot wanted to meet him. And he only came out after the plane landed.
Yeah.
I was just like, this will never happen in any other country in any
no.
other situation.
No, yeah. He let him ride shotgun. Sheamus rode shotgun on a plane.
What an awesome moment for him, yeah.
But
there was a lot of little things like that on the trip that I remember, like the Lion Park and going up the Cable Mountain, because I was the official ambassador of Table Mountain at the time, because we were trying to get it one of the five natural wonders of the world, which we succeeded, by the way. So it was me and a bunch of other local athletes and celebrities who all like went on TV, and we got people to vote for this and stuff. And I had a bunch of the boys on the road vote for me. So thank you for that help, by the way, Tyrus.
Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, I ended up going back after my WWE time. PJ hit me up and he's like, hey, I got a tour. I'm in. Yeah. And we went back. And we could go on, but it was... And hey, check out that thing on YouTube, and I'm gonna post some stuff when this podcast drops. Some of the photos, the helicopter photos, my megalodon tooth, and the greatest view you've ever seen. And PJ continues. I mean, you've wrestled everywhere, all forms of leagues, and coming from humble beginnings. Now, normally, PJ, we'd have a legend.
65 countries now.
Yeah,
you 65 countries
are
wrestling.
Are you still skydiving, PJ?
Oh, you know what? I wasn't.
I'm sorry. Did I jump the gun on that?
No, okay. Because he's the most fearless man I didn't even think about. Yeah.
Culture, like, and he would kept, PJ, yeah. you kept trying to get me to skydive. And I said, no, I'm not.
He was going to invent a parachute for me.
I'm not jumping out of no point, but damn, PJ. I mean, are you still doing that?
I haven't done it in quite a while.
Oh,
I like
okay.
flying paragliders.
He's
right. Okay, yeah,
It's more like peaceful because I can just hike up any mountain.
He was riding a motorcycle around Tampa. I remember. I was like, this guy, the Darewolf, PJ.
Darewolf,
right?
yeah. Dr. Black,
living the life. Yeah,
I would get a picture text when I haven't heard from him in a couple months, and it's in a hospital. Broke leg, both legs, bro. No problem.
But with a beautiful smile on his face, and I'm like, are you gonna stop that at any point? No.
I'm gonna stop. I'm gonna stop for 6 weeks to heal up.
Right.
Then you're back on the plane.
Yeah.
Exactly, bro. Every sport has its injuries. I mean, would you stop having sex if you get a STD? No.
Well, STD maybe not, but broken leg. I gotta be honest. That's some.
There was a moment.
You know,
stop for a little bit, right?
That's some with all due respect, Ma. No, not tonight. I gotta walk. No, thank you. Just no, thank you. I'll pass. Yeah. Hard pass. Thank you. Yeah. You know, and speaking of...
What an analogy.
Huh?
What an analogy.
But that's how much PJ likes skydiving right there. That's what that'll tell you.
Yeah, he's diving head in.
I mean, come on, guys. This is all a video game that we're in anyway. Like, anyone...
Here we go. That's the real PJ Black. Amen. I was waiting for something. Yep.
We're all just husks, man. You know,
I half agree with you, PJ. No.
We're having so much fun, you know, and I kind of was afraid PJ get on would want to hog him and not let anybody else on the show today.
Right.
We'll be back with much more after this. So, hey, PJ, you know how you talked about giving a young guy a shot? So Trevor and I work with Jeezy, and he's been in the game for a minute. And when I got to NWA and I started working with guys, this was a guy that I was like, hey, I want to work with this dude. Like, and I made him, I brought him in because I was being managed by Austin Idol. But I was like, this dude, Jeezy, does it all. Like, he does it all. And all he needs is a shot. And so he started being, we incorporated him in and his money management thing. And he's blown up to the point where it's just me and Jeezy now, pretty much. Because this guy is just over. And then he can work unbelievably. Like, he can just go.
It's a perfect example of giving a guy an opportunity that someone else has passed by. And you guys are killing it, man. Like
he cut a promo, and I was just, and not to cut you off, Trevor, he cut a promo. I was like, why is this guy not somewhere? You know, yep. He is somewhere. He was in NWA, but he was under the radar, you know. And then I said, hey, Billy, because Homicide had just won the lightweight championship. And I said, let Jeezy and him go. Give him 20 minutes. You know, and he's like, oh, I don't know. And they tore the house down, you know. And,
oh, he can work for sure. Yeah. That's, again, man, like you give a guy an opportunity, let him go out there and let him
Never judge a book by its cover, you know. And I guess, you know, in this day and age, it's all about height and size. And sometimes we forget that talent, especially in our sport, size is secondary. Yep. It really is.
You know, because we had Santino on last week. He said, we were pulling up to a building one time, and he said something to me I'll never forget, because they were like, are you a wrestler? Right? Somebody said something like that to him, and he goes, he said something about, you may be 6'8 or 6'9, but can you sing and dance? You know what I mean? And he meant it on a deeper level, though. Can you entertain? You know, and I'll never forget that. Yes.
So,
can I ask a question then? If we're talking about trying to stand out, like PJ, what was your ideas and thinking when you're standing next to all those guys in Nexus? How are you going to stand out?
Oh, so let me backtrack a little bit. So when I got to FCW, right? So I built a career on just being the pretty boy, being the poster boy, being this good looking kid. And at the time I was doing this porn star gimmick. And I remember getting to FCW and everyone was like, yeah, you cannot wear those on TV. You're going to have to cut a little bit more. So, you know, my whole life I stood out because I was just different looking. I was, you know, like.
God, he was incredibly good looking, everybody. All right.
Okay. But then I got to FCW and there were many others like me, right? There were probably 100 guys on the roster, and there were quite a few guys like me. And I was like, oh, and they like better looking than me and like bigger than me. And they can
thank
move,
you.
But so I kind of had to navigate that. It was quite a challenge. And it was probably the first time in my life that I had to work really hard for something.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
No. Yeah. And I think that's where your work, where you became the worker opposed to the gimmick, you know, because a good looking guy is a gimmick, you know, just like a Funkasaurus is a gimmick, but you have to be able to work. Because the gimmick doesn't mean as much if you can't work.
Yeah, and it'll, like, not to say, but it'll work against you.
One thing is you get put in a pigeonhole.
Yeah.
Like, we can only have him in spots where he's facing hard camera because he's so incredibly good looking.
Yeah, I mean, there was.
So he can't do house shows.
And you're right, PJ. I mean, we walked into that, or everybody walked into that building, and there was 100 guys there, and by God, if 50 of them weren't gone every 3 months, and another 50 showed up. You know what I mean? So you really had to have an intangible quality.
You have to be a diamond in the rough.
Yeah, and learn to entertain and all of that stuff.
So speaking of diamond in the rough, Jeezy, are you with us?
I'm with you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. So
all right, cool.
Introduce yourself. Now we got PJ Black, you know, Trevor, NWA World Heavyweight Champion for now.
Yes, sir.
And
the two-time NWA World Heavyweight Champion.
Thank you, Jeezy. I appreciate that.
Wow. Well, when you're good, you only got to have it one time. So, hey, Jeezy, we were just talking. I don't know how much you heard. So I don't know if you've ever actually worked or been on the same card as PJ or Danger Wolf, because you've been in this game a minute. And I was just saying, when I came into NWA, the first time I met you, I was like, this dude's a star. Why are we not using him? And they're like, well, you already have a manager. And I was like, nah, hell no. Bring him in. Like, he can work too, you know. And so you got your story is pretty cool. So what got you into the sport?
I used to watch it as a kid. I used to watch it with my grandma when I was really young. And once I started watching it, that was literally all that I ever wanted to do. It was this, it was pro wrestler and actor. You know what I mean? So I feel like it's a mixture of both worlds, you know? So, like, that was always the goal, to get in pro wrestling, you know?
So you broke – where did you break in at?
I broke in Philly a long time ago. I've been in – I had my first match in February of 2000. So, yeah, it's been a long time, you know what I mean, on the indies for a long time. Did extra work with WWE back when Ryback was first brought in. And then I did a handful of shots with TNA. Did some ROH, but I never had that run with a company that had TV. Like, I did a lot of cool stuff on the indies. You know, I've traveled the world, been to Japan a couple times. I have like a good resume, I think.
Yeah,
but
solid resume.
What I was missing was that TV experience. That was something that I really needed and I wanted to have. You know, and like getting this opportunity with NWA, you know, it was really great for me, and I appreciate it.
Well, I mean, you killing it, bro. Like, we started out with a big group, and now it's literally you and me. I mean, we still part of the crew, but you know, there's just not enough mic time because, like, I don't think you've ever missed a cue. You know, and I don't really plan anything. I just kind of just wing it, and Jeezy's always there. But then your work. It's like they forget, you know, because I hate to see, because it's stupid when you talk about like a guy is short in sports entertainment. That's dumb because it doesn't really matter.
Right, right.
Yeah. Like, that's like saying Rey Mysterio isn't a Hall of Famer because he's short. It's just stupid, you know.
And, you know, we all look a little bigger on television than we actually are, just to be truthful. Yes. So, yeah.
I know some 6'6 guys right. with lifts in their shoes,
I know,
okay?
Yeah, when I got there, I was like, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, that used to blow my mind. I was like, bruh, how are you taller than me when you have lifts on? What? I'm like, you're already sick. What? Why?
It's like, damn, you look a lot bigger on television.
That was my gimmick. Oh, Triple H walked by, and I was like, I'm nose to nose with that cat. I'm as big as, I'm at least as tall as he is.
Right.
And then, what happens is big guys with lifts can't walk in the ring. So they're like wobbling and stuff. And they're like, oh, yeah, it's bad.
Look like baby giraffes.
Yeah, pulling carts.
Yeah, that's what I was, because I was always told, you know, be in boots. Right?
Yeah.
You're a professional wrestler, Alex Riley. That's what you're, you know.
You lace them up.
You're that tall,
yes.
Be in boots. But damn it, if I didn't have a hard time at times moving in boots.
Well, you never wore them.
Well, yeah. So I was going back and forth between boots and kick pads, and it was just.
Now, Jeezy, I don't know if you agree with me on this one or not, but if you don't throw kicks, I don't think you should be allowed to wear kick pads.
Yeah, that was a.
I believe I brought that up.
Yeah, I agree. You know, like, you know, a lot of guys wear the kick pads because it looks cool. But yeah, I agree. If you're gonna wear them, you should go and kick.
Yeah.
But I also get the aesthetics of it, though. You know what I mean? You always want to go out there and look fly. So like, kick pads look pretty cool. I used to wear them. I kicked a little, but I like boots now. I love boots. Yeah. That's the best look for me.
PJ wears kick pads. Thank God. Because I've gotten a few of those.
PJ kicked me in the throat one time, and my voice is still healing, I believe. Yeah,
it's like he hits you and you want to stop the match.
Oh,
and you're like, are those kick pads? How many inches you got in there?
I swear to God, my voice is still healing from one of PJ's.
Daniel Bryant was another one.
I'm the safest guy by far, so that makes
me a seat. Yeah, okay. That's fair.
No. Like I said, the only guy I ever stiffed in the ring was Fred, because he pissed me off because he was on the wrong side of a clothesline for like the third time, so I stuck the elbow out.
Yeah, if you're in the wrong spot out there, you'll catch one.
You'll catch one.
Yeah, real quick.
And like, you know, hey, geez, you're going to love this story. So I'm in South Africa doing a tour with PJ, and PJ coming back was a big deal. I mean, it was a big deal. People were just ecstatic that PJ was coming back to do this show. And he, PJ, you were, we'll leave him nameless or whatever, but he was wrestling guy that he had broke in with, that he had trained with. And PJ went off to America and, you know, really blossomed and had a great run in the WWE and several other organizations and had wrestled everywhere and everyone. And so he was coming back home and he was wrestling somebody he trained with, if I'm remembering the story correctly, correct?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
me and him had some great matches. Remember when we had that TV
deal in South Africa before I went to WWE.
Right.
Like he was probably one of the biggest stars. I mean, you saw what he looked like, right? He was just a massive, massive star. So 10 years go by and I wrestle this guy and I'm thinking, okay, he must have progressed in the last 10 years as much as I have, right? So I put together this match. On paper, it was going to be the match of my life, the match of his life by far. And it was in front of his hometown, in front of his friends and family, right? Now, there are thousands of people in the audience, and a lot of them know him because he's a hometown hero. And this guy just freezes in the first minute. You know, he was just probably nervous or whatever it was, and he starts shooting on me. So I just, like grab him in a hold, and I just let him calm down, and we kind of do a few more moves, and he just f***s up the spot, f***s up the next one, f***s up the next one. And then he starts shooting on me again, and I was like, I've had enough. I just choke him out. I do my, you know, the springboard moonsault I do. I do the springboard moonsault. The ref goes one, two. I do the old heel thing where I pick up the hair. I'm like, no, 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 one more. I do another moonsault. Ref goes one, two. I'm like, no, no, no. Pick him up by the hair.
But this time I go do the He's out.
So this time I do the springboard 450 because I got to give the crowd a show, right? They've been wanting to see PJ Black for so many years now in South Africa. So I do the springboard 450, one, two, and I just pull him up. I'm like, no, no, no. But as I pull him up, I put my hand behind his neck and my other hand in between his legs, and I make it look like he small packages me. And I just tell the ref, I'm like, count, count, count. And this guy's knocked out. So he just small packages me. Well, me putting myself into a small package. One, two, three. There you go. He wins, but he's knocked out. I just.
But he wait. Hey, and I'm watching. I'm no longer in the back. I'm in the hallway watching this match, like giggling because I know he's out. Yeah. And I'm like, PJ, PJ put him out. And when he woke up, he acted like he won the lottery. Like he had no, he was like thanking everybody in the back and like, oh, what a match, what a match. And I just said, best match of his career.
Yeah, he did out.
And I said, you don't remember one thing about it. You don't remember nothing about it.
Hey, oh, bless his soul. He passed away last year.
Oh, he did?
Oh,
he was young.
Well, we could have led with that. We could have led with that,
man. Damn.
We could have started the story with that.
Yeah, because now it sounds like you killed a guy.
We were just ass.
I wasn't. I did detect Trevor. Trevor was a little Jeezy, couldn't you tell Trevor was being negative?
Oh,
think about this.
That.
I did the job. I did the job in front of his hometown. Nobody else would have done that. Everyone else would have just covered him and said him one, two, three.
Yep.
Anybody else in the business would have done
and
that.
And that's why I said that's literally the nicest guy you don't want to shoot on. Because, like I said, he went to sleep and he woke up a winner. So, I mean, if that's not inspiration.
And still had a five-star match.
Yeah. And no one knows, but.
It's like in Wrestle Bruce.
He did. A limp one, but he did.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like we got to get the NWA booked in South Africa. That's what it sounds like.
Actually, it's funny. PJ and I have been discussing
trying to get that
laid back, laid down.
Oh,
because...
don't tempt me now.
Hello, everyone.
We got to get a couple
good ideas.
Yes.
Good idea.
Yes. The show can start now. Thank you. Sorry I'm late.
Another wise man.
Aaron, we started like 45 minutes ago. We have PJ's
Aaron's
on.
Aaron's just in time for the outro.
Yeah.
Aaron's just in time for the outro. Just give us the goodbye signal. Thanks.
PJ, what's going on, man?
We've already know. He already told us what's going on.
Well, you know what? This is obviously a miscalculation. So I tell you what. Tell me everything you've talked about. I will give everyone my opinion on it. And then we can resume.
Jeezy's also on. We were just talking to Jeezy, hearing about his career before you rudely interrupted.
What's up, man?
Man, is Jeezy still on? What's happening, Jeezy? How you doing?
Chilling, man. Chilling. How you doing?
Man, we're just maintaining. You know what I mean? I'm actually squatting right now at Santino's parents' house. He actually left the country and just said, hey, my parents, they haven't moved out of their house yet. Like, they're now living.
You ran Santino out of his own country? Is that what you're telling me?
He's like, no, you can he invited me to his home. And then after I got a plane ticket, he's like, oh, by the way, I'm leaving like 2 days early. So we're going back to Toronto.
He would do some like that just to entertain himself too, I believe, Santino.
No, dude, yeah. I'm talking like... there's a mattress, a pillow, and a towel. Like, and he just said, no, just stay here. That's it. Like, it's terrible, man. It's awful. It's so terrible. I feel like I'm in prison. you know, and luckily the people are so nice in Canada, you know, it makes it a little more bearable. But no, so seriously, I mean, we want to hear my opinion. We were talking about, I assume, some South Africa stories. We have PJ on here.
Yeah, we already did all that.
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah, tell us your South African story.
You know what? I just remember it was, involving our friend Tyrus, to where we did a thing with Money in the Bank when I had won the briefcase, but they were like a week or 2 weeks behind in the TV. So Cody and I were still a tag team, even though we were feuding on TV. And then we wrestled Tyrus and Tenzai. And then we had to actually wrestle each other. And when all was said and done, we were actually out there. It was like 48 minutes or something crazy like that. And that was my favorite South African story because we were in that outdoor stadium. But you know what? I'm going to not talk about myself.
So then we can say goodbye.
Can I tell you guys something about that outdoor stadium? So it's a tennis stadium in Durban, right? So that place
was
my
cut me off.
First match ever.
That great stadium. But I also want to say how PJ's dad was, in my opinion, one of the best workers of his day by far. And I just want to make sure that you guys talked and gave the Pink Panther credit, because I actually stole a lot of my standout stuff from him. He was amazing.
Yeah, we covered that, Aaron. See, this is what happens when you're late. And you're
It helps if it comes from my voice too, because I just have a very calming, reassuring voice. And I think to the listener, we have to hit all demographics.
Hey, guys, so funny story about that tennis stadium, right? It's like a national treasure. When I was a kid, I saw Hogan there. I saw Andre there. You know, the building is a piece of trash, but it has a lot of history. And it's funny that WWE still tours there till this day. So I remember wrestling Fandango there with the WWE in that stadium. And I had my very, very first match there in 1997. My very, very first match. And it was pretty cool. And then when I wrestled there with WWE, it was actually on my dad's birthday. So it was pretty special. And I believe that Taker had one of his first matches in that building too. So Taker was, he was training for like a week or 2 weeks, and he went on to a South African tour with no experience. So he kind of got in-ring experience in South Africa. And that stadium was also one of his firsts, actually.
It's an historic wrestling place, and a lot of people don't know that. South Africa has a rich wrestling history. And you obviously are the shining star of that, because you represent that and you represent it at a high level. Jeezy, what's coming up for you? I noticed because I'm always on your Instagram and stuff. You got some stuff coming up, right?
Yeah, tomorrow in Richfield Park, I have a show for it's called Find Yourself Wrestling. I believe it's their first show. Saturday, I'm double shotting. I have one in Bayville, New Jersey, for Titan Wrestling, followed by a show in Brooklyn for Catalyst Wrestling. Then on Sunday, I have a show for Pro Wrestling R in New Jersey. So it's a pretty full weekend. Looking forward to it, you know?
Yeah, you always working.
Good for you, buddy. Good
always
you.
Working.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
And
make that money.
Yes, Aaron, he's getting paid. I just want to say, man, I'm excited about the future working with you, NWA. I think we got big things on the horizon, man, and I appreciate you. So, PJ, man, please come back. Jeezy, please come back. Aaron, thanks for showing up. Trevor, I'm going to end the show, but before I do, if you think I'm letting you get off the hook from the text message you sent me this week, you are badly mistaken.
I'm kayfabe for a reason, bro. Like,
so
that's why you ain't got many friends, man. Just let's be realistic here.
No, I got friends, okay. But when someone sends you this type of stuff, like, and I'm chilling, minding my own business, just doing my thing, working on a number one show. I don't know if you guys have been aware. And I get a text from cousin Trevor. And he says to me, hold on. There's so much.
I'll tell it.
No. Because you know what? All right. I'll let you tell it and fact check you. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So, like, my wife and I were sitting on the couch and we're having some coffee and we're talking about Tyrus and the show and just glad that one of the good guys is things are going well. And she looks over at me and she goes, "You and Tyrus remind me of like Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart." And I looked at her all cockeyed. I was like, I better be Snoop Dogg. Like, come on. And she goes, "Go make me some cookies, bitch." And I was like,
So he texts.
It cut me.
He's telling the truth. So then I said, "Yes, Martha, go make them cookies."
To which he said, "Bull." I said, "Did you make them?" He says, "Well, yeah. Who doesn't love cookies?" Good. I said, "Okay, then. We all love cookies, but only Martha bakes them." So then I said, "Martha, do you have a family recipe?" To which he said, "Not on cookies, but I do have a family recipe for coleslaw."
I do.
It's the best coleslaw you ever had. Three generations.
You have eaten my coleslaw, Aaron. You know that far.
And then I said,
"He ain't lying."
And then I just said, "You just went from cookies to coleslaw. Hashtag Martha." And he was like, "Hello." And then he fired back with, "That fire though." And I just wrote, "I'm sure it is." So
it is.
With that, for more podcasts like this, just like this, you can check us out at foxnewspodcast.com. Everybody who quotes Trevor, he will send you a bag of coleslaw. So please leave your comments and subscribe, because that is fire. Duff said.
Jason in the House, the Jason Chaffetz Podcast. Dive deeper than the headlines and the party lines as I take on American life, politics, and entertainment. Subscribe now on foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts.